Have you noticed how almost everything you buy these days has a warning label on it? Welcome to the world of easy litigation and people trying to protect themselves from it. Some of the wackiest ones I think I've seen is a bottle of sleeping pills, which has the warning, contents may make you drowsy. I saw a fishing lure once that says, dangerous if you swallow it. I saw a washing machine advertisement once that says, please don't put children in it. I don't know. There have been times when I wanted to put my kids in them a time or two. It caused me to start thinking about maybe some appropriate warning signs for worship that we might print in the bulletin, you know, something like sleep at your own risk or caution, sermon contents may be hot to handle or not responsible for wandering thoughts or wandering children during church. Jesus certainly gave warnings. He said in Matthew chapter 6, don't be going to church for show. He said in Matthew chapter 18, don't ever neglect the little ones that are among you. And he says here in Luke chapter 12, these teachings that we're sharing together these 3 weeks, something about possessions. Let me share it with you. Verse 15. Then he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Watch out. Be careful. Be smart. And so I want to use this text to talk about how to win the war over stuff. Of course, we ought to start with a confession. All of us like stuff. We like to collect it. We like to buy it. We never quite have enough of it. The more we have, the more we want. That's the nature of life, isn't it? Sometimes it's just fun to get it. Shopping is something that some people really like to do. On vacation, I visited 5 countries, and I was amazed that in every country we stopped on this cruise, that that people just loved to see you coming. There was always plenty of places to shop, and big smiles would come across people's faces when they saw tourists coming to town. Given the option between eating lunch and shopping, several of our group chose to shop. Instead of eat, we like to shop. I bought a boat the other day. I don't need one, but I bought it because I thought my grandchildren would like to have it. And you know what they say about a boat owner. The 2 great days in a boat owner's life is the day you buy it and the day you sell it, and everything in between is costly. But we have an attachment to things. We like to get stuff, and we like to buy it, and sometimes it's just the fun of trying to find a good deal or a good bargain. We like things. We enjoy possessions. It gives us a little feeling of status if we have a few things around. I was interested that Jesus started this powerful little story by saying the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. Now, I couldn't help but think of Tevier and Fiddler on the Roof when he talked about the ground of a certain rich man. I love the way Tevier prayed. Sometimes I wish I could be that honest in my praying with God, but if you remember that delightful play, Tevier says to the Lord one day, I realize it's no shame to be poor, but it's no honor either, and so would it have been so terrible if I were a very rich man? And then he goes into that delightful little piece by saying, if I were a rich man, I'd build a big tall house with rooms by the dozen right in the middle of town. And I would there would be one long, long staircase that would go all the way to the top. And there would be even a much longer one that would come all the way down. And if I were a rich man, I would have chickens and turkeys and geese and ducks in the yard. And everybody who came by my house in town would say, "There lives a very wealthy man." Well, I suspect there's a little bit of Tevier in us all, is there not? Oh, I know, we've traded the chickens and the ducks for Mercedes and SUVs, but I suspect there's a little bit of Tevier in us all. It gives a little bit of feeling of success and a feeling of accomplishment and status to have some things. There's just the fact that if you do well with what you've got, you may accumulate some stuff over life. You got to hand it to this guy. He's smart in many ways. He's industrious. I've raised a few crops. I know what farming is like. And let me tell you, you just don't throw the seed out there and hope they grow some way. You have good grain because you till it and work it and plant it and make it come together in the best of ways. And so a certain rich man has great, great crops, and he has too much grain for his barns, and he's even smart enough in the process of that and industrious enough in the middle of it to come up with a plan. He develops a plan and works his plan. I remember somewhere in planning that's what you're supposed to do if you want to be successful in life. Is it a sin to be rich? No, it's not a sin. Jesus never said it was a sin. And the church ought to repent of being prejudiced toward people with money and turning around and trying to manipulate them into giving it for their own ends. Jesus will judge that kind of hypocrisy. He did in the first century, and he'll do it now as well. This guy was successful because he knew how to farm. 250 years ago or so, Wesley discovered, as he started this Methodist movement, that when people got converted, they did a lot better in business. In fact, he says in one of his letters that some of my converts in 20 years have increased their worth 100-fold. Now, that's pretty good on any stock market, isn't it? You see, when you stop carousing around and getting drunk every night and start living a responsible life, you know, you just might make a success out of yourself. And that's what had happened to his converts. And in the later parts of his life, he began to preach about how to handle the accumulation of life. He didn't say quit making it. You remember what he said? Earn all you can. He never knew anything about retirement. Earn all you can. And then he put two other things with it. Save all you can. And give all you can. Stuff. We like it. It brings us rewards. It has a few trappings around it, but there's also a problem with it. And that's what Jesus attacks in this little story. Beware. Watch out. Be careful. Life does not consist in what you have. Life does not consist of what you own. Why? Well, the answers to that are obvious, and they're in this little story. For one reason, your family's going to fight over it. That's why possessions are often a problem. Your family will fight over it. Did you see how this story got started? The teachings in chapter 12 of Luke, the three of which I'm preaching these three Sundays, about worry and about stuff, and next week about fear, by the way, begins in chapter 12, verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak. Riverfront Park on the 4th of July. Times Square on New Year's Eve. Downtown in May at the Luis Palau Festival. A crowd pushing against one another. A big crowd. Jesus teaching. And right in the middle of all of that, somebody shouts out of the crowd. It's in verse 13 where we started today. And someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." There's one in every crowd. In fact, I put my money on a bet that there's a number in this crowd today. You know how it is with families. They fight over inheritances. It happens again and again and again. And you've never had those struggles. Ought to have mercy on the rest of us who understand and know what I'm talking about. You see, it doesn't matter whether you happen to be the Pritzker family of the Hyatt hotels and billions of dollars, and their family feuds make Forbes magazine and all the newspapers, or the Oleses that don't have any money at all, nobody notices, but the conflicts are always messy, and costly, painful. So Jesus says, you ought to be careful about all that stuff. Your family's going to fight about it. Beware. Be cautious. You see, possessions are a problem, Jesus said. They're a problem because you never have enough. How much is enough? Well, it's a little more than what you got. That's how much is enough. I mean, isn't that what this story is all about? You know, then he said to himself, by a sidebar here, if you're bored with this sermon, open your Bibles and count how many times the personal pronoun I is used in this tiny little parable. That'll give you something to do. But then he said to himself, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to myself, how much is enough? Just a little bit more than what you got. That's how much is enough. And Jesus says, there's a problem with that. It's going to cause you a lot of pain. There's a problem with that. You hear about the businessman, American businessman who was down on a vacation at a resort in Mexico and happened to notice a fisherman laying out on his boat in the afternoon. And so the American businessman shouted out from the wharf and said, what are you doing? Why aren't you fishing? And he said, because I caught enough for my family this morning. And the American businessman said to the fisherman, well, if you go back out in the afternoon, you catch a few more fish. And furthermore, you could probably catch enough fish that in time you could sell them. You could start a little fish stand here. And people would come and buy them, the local people and those of us who come down here visiting. We'd be glad to buy some fresh fish. Well, you might be good enough at this before long that you could probably buy several boats. And, you know, you could probably find some people that would run those boats for you. And pretty soon you'd have a thriving little business around here in terms of selling fish. And You know what? I got a little money to invest, and if you want to go in business together, you know, I think we could probably work out a fresh food market of some sort, and you could catch enough fish eventually that you could fly them to America, and I'd help you get a business going in some place like Brentwood, Tennessee, where people like to eat fresh fish, and pretty soon you'd have a major business going. And the fisherman said, well, what would I do then? And the businessman from America said, well, you'd make millions of dollars. That's what you would do. You would make all kinds of money. And he said, then what I'll do? He said, well, you could take that company and you could let it go public and you could sell it and you would be a billionaire. And then you could go to a beautiful resort area and build you a beautiful, beautiful house. And then you could sit on a boat in the afternoon and watch the ocean. And the fisherman said, well, isn't that what I'm already doing? You know, how much, you know, when is enough enough? Jesus said, it's never going to be enough. And that's the problem with stuff. Be careful, said Jesus. Be careful. The problem with stuff is that it won't give you life. That's the problem with it. You know the story. But don't forget it. Don't forget it. Oh, I'll have all these things laid up for many years. Then I'll say, take life easy, eat and drink and be merry. But God said to him, you know, you're a fool. For this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Not a bad guy. Not a mean guy. Not a crook. Just not very smart. Or as Forrest Gump says, stupid is as stupid does. You don't understand. Life is not what you own. Life doesn't have to do with things. Life is not made up of stuff. Whether you got a little of it or a lot of it, doesn't change. Because it's not life. You remember Big Daddy in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof? He down in the basement with his son Brick. They never have gotten along all their years. They wading through a whole basement full of stuff. It's got sculptures in it. It's got all kinds of paintings in it. Boxes, which Big Daddy says one of these days I'm going to open. Why'd you buy all this stuff? Well, I was trying to make your mama happy. But why didn't you ever say you love me, said Brick. Well, I was too busy. And then old Big Daddy picks up a clock, old clock, and then he says this, there's one thing you can't buy at a fire sale or any other sale. You can't buy life, Brick. It's not for sale. You can't buy life. Careful. Watch out. Be smart. Life doesn't consist of stuff. Well, you got a little of it or a lot. It doesn't define life. Then one more thing. You know, I know you've probably heard enough, but Jesus said one more thing. The last part of verse 20, the final question, not the final answer, the final question. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Then who's going to get what you prepared for yourself. I don't know much anymore. Most things I thought nailed down come loose and living. But I know this. I am certain and definite about this. Everybody in this room is going to die. You're going to die and I'm going to die. And that's a fact. They might write a few words about us in an obituary. I was always interested that all newspapers stick them over by the want ads. Maybe if we got any friends left, they might get together and say, tell a few jokes about us. Preacher might even say something good about us if he can find anything to say. And then they take us out and he'll make some pious statement about dust you are and to dust you shall return. Throw your ashes to the wind or drop your body down for the worms to eat. And people will get cars, go back home. And somebody will ask in their hearts, if they don't ask it straight up, I'm an expert on this. I've done a lot of funerals. Somebody will say, how much did old Joe leave? I know the answer to that one. He left it all. That's how much he left. He just left it all. You're not going to take it with you. Jesus says, be careful. Be smart. Wise up. Standing somewhere in the shadows. I still hear him saying the same thing to me and to you. Daring in the midst of trying to make a living, trying to sort out what you have. Be smart. Be smart. Look all your stuff in the eye and say to it one day, you're not going to own me. I'm not going to be your slave. I may have things, but things will never have me. And when you declare your independence over stuff, God will set you free. And he'll give you peace that passes all understanding. For life is so much more. So much more than what you own or even want on. Win the war over things and win it today. Now, we've intentionally set this service so you'd have time to pray, so don't leave running out the door. There's 20 more minutes in this service. Y'all don't know, but I got the clock up here. Because I think we need to talk to God, you know. This is real deal. Some of us got here sick. We're trying to get well. Some of us got here with family fights. We got to have God to help us get through them. Some of us got here worried. Worried about a job. Or worried about things. Worried about responsibilities. The pains of life. God will meet you here. That's what church is about. He'll help you deal with whatever's happening. So I want to invite you to pray. You might want to pray at these altars. Some of us will. You probably want to just pray in your pews. If you want us to pray with you, if you just lift a hand at the altar someplace, we'd be glad to pray for you, pray with you. But most of all, talk to God right now. Talk to God. Because God wants to talk to you. Let us pray.